Blog Talk Radio. to begin to shout in the atmosphere. God is changing my soul. Open your mouth.
Things that used to be is gone. There's past. All hallelujah, and all things become new. The narrative that we spoke of ourselves in the old days, where we were defeated, where we saw ourselves in a negative light, where our self-esteem might have been low. We might have experienced depression and anxiety and frustration and irritability. We walked in fear. That won't be our story no more. Oh, no, 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 that won't be our story no more, because we are King's kids. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are overcomers in this fight. Yes, that old man, that won't be our story no more. That won't be our story no more. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to FM AM for men, about men, where we come together to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word that enhances us as we strive towards the mark of perfection as men, developing that spiritual maturity. You know, it's a song that I have on my other show. It says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. Or that I'm just a nobody, that won't be our story no more. We are somebody in Christ. We are somebody in Christ. And that should be a celebration for us all today. That should be a celebration for us all today. That God loved us so much. As I was telling them this morning, you know, many times I hear people say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Even though I'm not worthy, well, the Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning, oh, yeah, I'm worthy. You know why I know I'm worthy? Because he sent his only begotten son. He was willing to die for us and take upon his body our sins, and that we could die to sin and live unto righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. That makes us worthy. That makes us worthy. He sacrificed his son for us. How could he not give us every good thing within him? That makes us worthy. Oh, we are worthy. Maybe not in our physical present when it comes down to our sinful nature, but in the spirit for which we come from God, we are worthy. And we were so worthy again that his son would die upon the cross. He would die upon the cross. Oh, so we're changing our story. That won't be our story no more. We're changing our narrative. We're going to move forward in him who we live and breathe in his being. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. This day, we are worthy. We are worthy, Father God. That old man, Father God, that won't be our story no more. Oh, no, no, no. We are worthy in you. We are worthy in you, Father God. We were so worthy, Father God, that your son would say, I'm going to give you the power that I walk the earth with and give you the Holy Spirit who will endow you with that not beyond your imagination, that will be beyond your imagination. Why? Because it wouldn't be us anymore moving. It would be the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Father God, that you blessed us with the Holy Spirit who will guide us, direct us, redirect us, correct us, empower us in ways, Father God, that we never know. I thank you, Father God. This, Father God, this prayer today, Father God, I thank you that it's changing the image of man. Changing the image of man. Old has passed away, and now we're in the new. We're in the new with you. We are your image bearers of you, Father God, in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, this day. As men, Father God, will we be godly men to move forward, Father God, to be who and what you called us to be this day, Father God. The old man won't be our story no more, but I thank you this day, Father God. We're writing a new story. We have a new narrative that we say that we can be overcomers in this life because greater is he that's in us that's in the world. For we truly would be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed going in and blessed coming out, that whatever we set our hands to do shall prosper in you, for we will exercise your will and the plan for our lives. I thank you, Father God. This day I pray for every man, Father God, that exists on this planet. The elderly, the mature adult, the middle ages, the younger adult, the teenager, the adolescent, the toddler, the newborn and unborn, every man that walks this planet. That, Father God, like John the Baptist, Father God, before he even comes out the womb, he will already be ready to execute, Father God, the plan you have for his life. And that plan will, Father God, truly be your plan, Father God, for them to prosper and to have hope for the future. Not defeated, not hopeless, but maintaining hope always, because hope never disappoints. So I thank you, Father God, this day. I praise you, Father God, that I decrease, Father God, and the Holy Spirit increase to give me what I need to say. Bring all things in my remembrance that will be effective and life-changing for those who have ears to hear. I thank you, Father God. Thank you for this opportunity, Father God, that each day my narrative is changing, Father God, that as I draw closer to you, you're drawing closer to me, and I am now being a vessel utilized by you. I thank you, Father God. Let us move to become truly image bearers of Christ, to have a mind and heart of Christ as we allow our mind to be transformed and being renewed each day. So truly we be image bearers of you. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, as I speak, that you will touch each word to carry the dunamis power to impact each individual, to influence them in a way that they will know who they are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm blessed. I am blessed to have this opportunity again to be able to speak on the behalf of that which the Holy Spirit has given me to talk about us becoming the perfect image of Christ, that mature image, that spiritually mature image as men of Christ. Hallelujah. Well, today's quote says, it takes more courage to reveal insecurities than to hide them, more strength to relate to people than to dominate them. More manhood to abide by the thought-out principles rather than the blind reflexes. Toughness is in the soul and spirit, not in muscle and immature minds. Being a male is a matter of birth. Being a man is a matter of choice. Try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. If a boy don't learn, men won't know. Manhood is the defeat of childhood narcissism. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Again, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And the scripture tells us in Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. 1 Corinthians 13:11 tells us, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Now, this is so significant. Because when we come born again, we kind of come like childlike in a new walk.
But as we continue to walk with God and talk with God and spend that quality time with God, he begins to mature us, because it's like a father walking with his son, passing the wisdom and knowledge down. And if the son has ears to hear, all of a sudden now the level of maturity will increase. And as the level of maturity increases, it changes the nature of the behavior of the individual that child, that boy begins to move into his various stages into manhood.
No longer would he think like a child and act like a child. Genesis 1:27.
So God created man in his image. In his image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
1 Timothy 3:2.
Therefore, an overseer must be approved above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach.
Again, the father teaches the son what it looks like to be a father, be a husband and a father, because he maintains a level of sober mind. He is respectable, hospitable. Spirit would say he maintains self-control.
1 Timothy 4:8, and while bodily training is in some value, godliness is the value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, also for the life to come.
Also for the life to come.
So yes, it's good to train the body, prepare the mind, but godliness is more valuable in every way. So we must strive to move in this direction as we move along as men. Now, it won't be before you long, as the one preacher would say, but today the Holy Spirit wants me to lay down a foundation. And where did this stem from? This morning I was sitting with my military buddies. We all now are seasoned in years, and we were reflecting back on the youthful years, the years when we were rebunctious and out there doing our thing. Girl chasing, you know, just hanging out, doing things that young people would do and think that it was appropriate. But reflecting back, it was a foundation that allowed us to reevaluate, what does it mean to be a man? What is manhood? See, those behaviors that we displayed, as Paul talked about, the childlike behavior, the childlike mindset, the childlike activities that we engaged in, is what the world had taught us to do. And because, again, if the father does not teach the child the right things to do in God, then the child will be taught by the world, who cares nothing about God. So it's significant that we prepare ourselves. As I always told my soldiers, as I would talk to the men in the men groups overseas, I would often say a man can't give you what he don't have. And if it ain't in him, it surely ain't going to come out. So it's so important for us to reevaluate, and that is the tip of the iceberg of our show, because this will have a couple of series to it. Our manhood is not defined by the world. Manhood, what a word to entertain. When I was a younger man, this word wasn't even a part of my vocabulary. It was just what is stated, a man. Now, considering that no one ever defined manhood to me, nor was it even defined in the male circle that I associated with, one just had to figure out through interactions, observation, participation, what this thing called being a man was all about. Now, I know, since I've been out here a bit, I know right now if I was talking to many brothers, they would dispute with me all day long. They would rebuttal everything I say, because we have this pseudo-image that we want to sustain and maintain. The ego always gets in the way. Yet I know from my blessings of being able to be from one continent to another, one state to another, meeting all types of ethnicities, interacting with different cultures, and interacting with various ages and lifestyles and what have you, I've come to conclusion, just by those things of observation, participation, and interaction, that we were missing something. In my adolescence, I saw it was about being able to carry, out masculine acts such as changing a tire, fixing a car, cutting the grass, and go to work. That's what I saw. In my teens, I saw as dating a lot of girls for which they saw me as a little older than my chronological age was, and based on the way I dressed and carried myself. That's how I was. This visual of manhood was also emphasized by what I possess and who deemed me as cool, that I was highly accepted by others, therefore appearing to be someone who was viewed as the leader of the pack. That's how it was. And again, as I said earlier, no one was defining manhood. Men didn't even want to sit down and talk about it. Didn't want to define that word. What is it to be a man? And what does it mean to move into manhood? In my 20s, my thoughts began to change because it was about preparing to be a husband, a provider, and a possible father. This reality of life was not shedding. This reality of life was now sharing the light of knowledge, which would expose the darkness of my ignorance. The realism was about to set in. I first got married at 18, and I got married again at 26. Neither one I was any better. Maybe a tad here and there, but when it came down to what it meant to be a man, I was missing something. Because I was carrying the old man. As they say, I had to rewrite my narrative, change the story. Carrying the old man, and the old man came from the old men who were passing down that old knowledge. As Zig Ziglar would say, that stinking thinking. And I know I'm not alone, because all I have to do is sit down with my men, and all I do is listen to their narrative, listen to their story, whether they want to portray an image, a pseudo-image, if you will, of what a man is. And because they hold roles, titles, and positions, they may think of themselves as a man. But they have no clear-cut definition. And one would tell me that you're right. I don't have a clear-cut. There is no clear-cut definition. Just like they said, there was no clear-cut definition of love. But there is. There is. Now, with children, wife, and life responsibility, a new meaning was needed for me to understand what being a man was all about as I moved into manhood. The stage was set for the reality check, and the early meaning of being a man was now being redefined. Nobody was defining me for me. Life was defining it for me. Relationships became complicated. Being a father was overwhelming. Being a soldier was beating me down. Life was defining what it means to be a man. And as I searched and talked to different people, and as I told them, I've been involved in a lot of religions. Man searched for meaning, as Viktor Frankl would say. I was searching for meaning to what it means to be a man. And when I sit down and talk to men of seasoned years, sit down and talk to men who are my age, and sit down and talk to men who's coming of age, the meaning was distorted. There was no clear-cut meaning. And for some, as I started to go through the various religions, if you will, and the spiritual walks that different people were engaging in, the meaning still eluded me. It was like Satan was working in a way that he did not want me to know what it means to be a man. And I know this to be true because I've listened to thousands of men, not by just exaggeration of numbers, but thousands over the course of time. Because God had allowed me to be exposed. And now I'm recognizing, and I didn't get it before, because I always wanted to maintain a level of humility not to speak of what I had been exposed to. But the Holy Spirit said, it's time to tell your story. It's time to tell your experiences. It's time to shed a light on the darkness of ignorance. And not because I'm shedding it, because the Holy Spirit is moving. And I'm now being a willing vessel to be moved. First thing I realized that the thoughts I started with were of what a man wasn't being defined clearly by the world viewpoint. Nor was it being defined by another man, woman, a role or position I held, or what it meant in my life. Now my statement here carried an interesting twist, because if not people, places, and things didn't define manhood, then what? Well, let's take a look at some of the worldly perspectives of the meaning of being a man. Hallelujah. And as I said earlier, this is going to take some time to get through. So this won't be, if you will, a wrap up in this session, because it is time to bring clarity. It's time to bring clarity. And I've read a lot of books. I've read a lot of authors on the subject of manhood, and still asking the Holy Spirit to help me condense it down. And I've read some great Tony Evans, T.D. Jakes. I've read some great books, and some from some psychological professors, if you will, psychologists and professors and philosophers. And each have given a different meaning, a different twist. And we basically almost need them all. Because if we look at our world today, I have to say it, the gender is being bent. The gender is being diluted. The gender is being confused. The gender is walking in darkness. And if we don't do something now to give some, at least what it looks like, as I like to say, what does it look like, we'll continue to walk in this darkness. And our young boys will continue to be confused. And if they're confused boys, they're going to be confused men. That's just the way it is. And we need to begin to define it. And as I said earlier, it won't necessarily be defined, even though we use the vessel of a man or a woman, what have you. It won't necessarily be defined out of that, because we know that if the Holy Spirit is moving, he will bring things to our remembrance, even things we're not aware. He'll give us those secrets that God wants us to know in order for us to get clarity on who we should be in him. Hallelujah. Oh, I like to believe that we are looking for understanding, not necessarily what is right in the eye of man, but what is right in the eye of God, who is in truth, created man in the first place. And if anyone doubts this, the scripture supports his own. As I always say, the scripture validates itself. Don't need me. It validates itself. As I spoke of the scripture earlier, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created man. God created man. Didn't say God created dog in his image. It didn't say God created a horse in his image. He said God created man, which that word man was significant. But, oh, as we've seen the gender benders going on, that word is losing its validity to wake up. However, I would try hard to look at different perspectives, be able to support what I believe it needs to be, if you will, what I believe we need to seek out the truth from an understanding perspective versus a right or wrong view that is outside of God's will and plan. We need to understand God's will, God's meaning, God's purpose, God's plan, and be not ashamed about it. See, I sit down with men, and they will talk 4 hours about the championship game. I don't really have a clue, to be perfectly honest, because I don't really follow it. I have the overall basics from childhood, but I really don't care, to be perfectly honest. But if I sit down and want to have a conversation about God, I got 2 minutes. You better take it quick. Which the one that created the guy to play the basketball or the football. But we don't want to hear that, because Satan has done a great job of masking the reality of the importance of man's existence, man's purpose, and God's will to move in man to fulfill the mission that he sent all of us to do, because we've all been given assignment. But let's consider some basic meaning from the popular book Webster's Dictionary. Manhood is defined as the condition of being a human being, the quality associated with men, manliness, the condition of being an adult male as distinguished from a child or a female, an adult male, and the anatomical structure, which I won't pronounce. I'm sure you know. Another perspective about the definition of man, which doesn't really say what being a man is, but more of the manifestation of masculinity, which views men from their actions, as I mentioned earlier, such as men being aggressive, men as emotionally distant, men suppressing women, These different perspectives and more can cause men to be caught in the middle, not knowing what this basically is, a double bind. Again, if you're confused and amazed, it's going to be very difficult to get out. So why do we see all the heinous crimes that we see today, the atrocities going on, and a high percent of these actions are done by men? I'm not one to put men down. I don't get into that. I've seen shows and listen to people say, well, it's all man's fault. Men are the problem. Men are the issues. I rebuke that. Satan is the issue working through the male vessel, if you will. And if we don't know God and we don't get our mind cleansed, we don't get our heart clean, we're going to follow suit. This is his world. He's the prince of the air right now. And we can see that all the things that are now going on, if you will, in the airways is causing us to continue to be confused. And we make it to be acceptable. We make it to be acceptable. This can be a problem. We have to decide to do something different. We have to decide to be who God intended us to be. I want to read something here that was written by Billy Graham that I think is significant. He says, a positive influence. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Romans 12:2. He says, I've found that the casual Christian has little or no influence for good upon others. Only the Christian who refuses to compromise in the matter of honesty, integrity, morality is bearing the effectiveness of being a witness for Christ. The casual worldly Christian is prepared to do as the world does and will condone practices that are dishonest and unethical because he's afraid of the world's displeasure. He ignores the Bible's clear command, do not be conformed to this world. Only by the life obedience to the voice of the Spirit, by daily dying to self, by a full dedication to Christ and a constant fellowship with him, are we able to live a godly life and have the positive influence on this present ungodly world. Is the world changing you, or are you changing the world? That is the question. You see, it's so much that we have to begin to do as men. Because the world is changing us. The world is changing us. And I know, again, there'll be many who say, not me, not me. But be not wise in your own ways, and always lean not to your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct our path. This wake-up call. Again, such we can see that such limitations that limit many men more than not on what a man looks like. Now, you may ask why I often touch on this subject, for which if you talk to many men, they will tell you they understand what it means to be a man and move into manhood. And you know they might be right. But one of these things I've learned in this life is that if you can't remain a student in life, you cannot grow in the developmental process of knowledge that God gives us to be the men God intended us to be. And as I mentioned in 1 Corinthians earlier, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put off childish ways. Somewhere we must grow up and put off those childish ways to move into our true level of manhood. So I'm going to highlight some points here before I close out because, again, I think this is significant enough as we look at manhood as it relates from the worldview and the spiritual perspective. You know, I don't do titles and just my thing. But today it's weird because the Holy Spirit was telling me you're going to be a teacher. You know, and sometimes I push back things like that because I just like to just go along, get along, and just let the whatever I'm doing speak for itself. Titles, as I've seen through the military and education, it just kind of throws me off. But I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to embrace that. I think that's my comfort zone. So I thank God today and the Holy Spirit for giving me some insight of what this title looks like. Hallelujah. You see, the world tends to view man in one or two idolatrous ways. Materialism, seeing man as a composite of nothing more than material components. His intellectual, emotional, and spiritual aspects are nothing but a product of his material nature acting according to the rules of the physics and biology. What are the consequences? Man is not responsible for his behavior. The environment is to blame for unacceptable behavior. Leads to emphasize on a social program, big government. Man is not distinguishable from other material creatures. Therefore, he has no dignity or inherent worth. Animal, even plants, have the same inherent worth as people. Man's identity is not in any way related to God. Therefore, man is some sense of ultimate, which is idolatrous. Idealism sees that man is essentially as a spiritual being, and his physical body is foreign to his essence. The body is nothing but a shell for the spirit or the intellect. You see, man's suggestion says that man body is neglected. Deeds done in the body do not pollute the essence of the person. Male-female identity is a biological accident. The world now. The Christian view holds two of these aspects, the material and the spiritual, together in perfect harmony. But Christian's view goes beyond that. You see, the Bible presents man in a proper context of creator and creature relation. Man is created and sustained by God. As I said earlier, Genesis 1:7 says, so God created man in his image. In his image, God created him. Male and female, he created them. Out of Acts 17:25-28. And he is not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole world. He marked out their appointed time in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. You see, some would say we are his offspring. See, man is a person that is therefore capable of making moral decisions. Man can make moral decisions. Man is made in God's image. Hallelujah. You see, the image of God is the key to man's identity. Man is God's representative. In Genesis 9:6, it says, whoever shed human blood, by human shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. Man is a picture of God in some respect. You see, Genesis 1:26-31 says, then God said, let's make mankind in our image and our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his image, and in his image God created them, male, female, he created them. You see, I keep emphasizing this because God created us in his image. In his image. Not the image of Iron Man, Batman, Superman. No, he created us in his image. He created us in his image. God blessed him and said to them, be fruitful, increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seeds in it. They will be your food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that breathes of life in it, I give every green plant of food, and so it was. God saw that he made and that it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. God took the time to ensure that not only did he create man in his image, but we would rule as his representation. But somewhere along the line, we drift away. Christ, the God-man, is the perfect representative of what it means to be an image of God and man. 2 Corinthians 3:3-4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and to whom God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. As I said, Satan has basically kept us in the darkness of ignorance. But God's knowledge shines a light on it. But we have to have ears to hear. We have to have a heart to receive. We have to have a mind that is open. As I spoke about on my show the other day, that man, the man had so much in his own cup, if you will. When the man of wisdom tried to give him more, he couldn't get it. It just overflowed. Because he was so full of himself, he couldn't receive anything else. Hallelujah. And Colossians 1:15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? You see, my friends, as a result of the fall, God's image in man is corrupt, but not lost entirely. Psalms 58:3 says, the wicked are astray from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And then Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered to the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, and for that all have sinned. We all have missed the boat. Because of one man's fall. Often I think about that, and I've had discussions with people when I think about when we talk about the machoism of man, the alpha of man, the dominance of man. And I often, when I look at the fall, I say I don't see that. I see the willingness of man humble himself to his mate, and not to God. And I haven't seen much change. Like I often say, in my travels, in my exposure, it is my experience. I don't see many alpha males, if you want to use that term. I see more of the passive males, just like Adam. Passive. God may created man to do what he was supposed to do, and he was told just like Eve was told. But instead of him listening to God, he listened to Eve. But then God turned around and checked Adam first. Because he knew as he put the curse on the woman, he knew she wanted to dominate over him. And basically she didn't have to do much. Because Satan talked to her and she talked to Adam. And they all failed. See, we conform to the world. But that has to change. Romans 8:7, they say, because the carnal mind is the enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And when long as we walk in the flesh, and I understand this clearly, because I still walk in it sometimes. I understand it. But as long as I walk in the flesh, I'm not at my maximum. I'm not at my best. I'm not victorious because I'm not walking in the Spirit. And God is spirit. When I walk in the spirit as a man, I walk fully in the capacity to be able to execute what God intended us to be as men of Christ. See, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he prepared his men. He said they were once fishermen of fish, but he was going to prepare them to be fishermen of men. He didn't even say fishermen of women, fishermen of dogs or cats, and not take anything from our sisters. You will be fishermen of men. And he began to prepare them on how to be image bearers of himself because he was the perfect representation of what a man was supposed to be. He walked in the spirit. And as he was in this physical body, he did not even walk, as you will, as a physical man would normally do. He allowed the Holy Spirit to govern his actions. Therefore, he couldn't miss the boat. He couldn't make the poor decision that many of us as men make. And I'm not talking about just on a physical note, if you will. He didn't get caught up in pride. He didn't get caught up. When he went in the wilderness, he was tempted to everything known to man that was vital to man, that would make man feel like he had it going on. He tempted him in every way. Power, fleshly needs, control. He rebuked it all. See, because he allowed the Holy Spirit to guide him. You see, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the nature of man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let me say it again. the nature of man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. The flesh don't want to receive. This is why when I sit down with many men, and men who call themselves Christians, I'm not going to even exclude them. I'm not even bite my tongue. Because pride is still in the way. That's what I say. We all sin, fall short of glory. I walk in the flesh at times because sometimes pride gets in the way. The ego gets in the way. My wants and desire gets away. I can talk about me. Because, again, I'm striving towards the mark of perfection. If you're a runner and you're moving towards the finish line, you are striving. You got your stride. I'm striving. But, oh, I'm aware that I got pain. I'm aware that my legs are getting tired. I'm aware that the pain in the side. I'm aware that I'm losing oxygen. I'm aware of this. So I'm aware of my sin nature. So I don't perpetrate. Even when I was in the streets, I didn't perpetrate. I told it like it was. Told it like it was. Because I understood that at least I can stand on my own principles. As I was telling someone the other day, I don't care what your philosophy is. Stand on it. If you're a thief, you're a thief. You're a drug addict, you're a drug addict. If you're out on the street, you're on the street. If these are your ways you see the world, stand on it. Own up to it. But as you own up to it, recognize you, it comes with a consequence, and it's your responsibility to deal with that. Don't pass the buck. What happened in the beginning? When they fell, the first thing they do was blaming everybody else. It was Satan. It was the woman. Own up to it. Man up. Now, this is when they use the word man up. Be accountable, responsible. Don't blame, well, I cheated on my wife because she didn't do this, do that. No, you cheated because you were being allowing your flesh to move you. I stole that money because we needed money so we could pay. No, you wanted to steal that. You can justify any excuse you want, but excuses are nothing but avoidance of the reality of your responsibility. Excuses. Trying to justify you're wrong. You're just wrong. I often said before I really even knew God the way I knew him, I said, Lord, if I die before you, I'm going to own up to it all. Because there wasn't nobody forcing me to do nothing. And even if they were, I remember a young girl overseas stood up for her Christian belief unto death. And often I ask people, what are you willing to die for? What are you willing to die for? So is man basically good or basically evil? God's image is corrupt in every aspect of man's being. God's image, however, is not entirely lost, as I mentioned. You see, Genesis 9:6 says, who shed man's blood? By man shed his blood, he shed be shed. For in the image of God, God made man. And James 3:9-12 said, therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. See, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and curse. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doeth a fountain send forth, at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Can't have the best of both worlds. So we have to strive to get out of that double-mindedness, because double-mindedness makes us unstable in all our ways. I was talking to someone, and I said, in all things, we need to get understanding. If we get understanding, we can basically move away from being unstable. We're not flip-flopping all over the place, because now we understand the importance of what God's deeper message is. We stop surfing, and we start deep sea diving for the real pearls of life, the wisdom that God wants us to have through the Holy Spirit. We can man up. God restrains sin through the operation of common grace. See, in Genesis 6, then God said to him in his dream, yes, I know you did this with clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. And in Romans 2:14-15, when the Gentile, which had not the law, by the nature of things contained in the law, these having not the law are the law unto themselves. which shows the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts, the meaning while accusing or else excusing one another. So what are we to do? See, God's image renews through the salvation in Christ. Romans 8:29 says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And Colossians 3:9-10 says, not one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. As I said earlier, we got to let the old man go. And as the song said, which I didn't know was coming on, but the song said we got to rewrite our story. Let the old man go and embrace the new man and build on that new man. There's people that go to the gym and they say, I'm getting ready to lose this weight. They're 300 pounds, and then you see them a year later, they're down to 180 pounds. There's a new man standing before you. And what did they do? They maintained the faith, but they exercised the work. This is what's so significant. Hallelujah. The Christian view of man has implications, you see. Treatment of the weakness and the defenseless. The proper place of self-esteem. Critique of behavior and critique the constructivism of educational theory. We begin to put things in its proper perspective, a perspective that comes from the Word of God. The Word of God gives us power. As the Scripture tells us, it gives us life, and it heals us. Heal us from the old things that the old man caused. What we can take back, we can get back what we allowed the locust to take away. Change us. So next session, we're going to examine six qualities of manhood and what a real man looks like from a biblical perspective, and more as the Holy Spirit leads. I hope that I was able to impart something that will begin to at least have the wheels turn and will cause you to engage and do your own due diligence. Study to show thyself approved, the right to divide the word of truth. A workman that need not be ashamed. So you too can go and say, I'm going to make that change. As Michael Jackson say, you got to look at the man in the mirror. You see, Jesus understood this. And as he came to do his due diligence, out of Mark 10:35-45, Jesus explained that he came as the Son of Man to give his life as a ransom. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. A man always, as I told my son at 3 and kept it going to this present day, a man is always going to be accountable and responsible. It's time out for these men who have an adult body, but not exercising what it means to be a man. And even if you look like you got it together, could you stand before God and say, I've man up. I am now moving to become everything you intended me to be. Oh, I know on any run you're going to have your moments. But the race is not given to the swift or the strong. Therefore, we have to be patient with one another and ourselves, but him that endure to the end. It's time for us to fight the good fight. Again, this is no longer being on the playground. We got to get ready for the battleground. So always, before I part out, it is so significant that we recognize the importance of our salvation. For those who don't know Christ, who have not accepted Christ, who have never confessed to the world that they want to be a part of this kingdom living, I recommend and I suggest strongly, but you have free will. I recommend strongly that you accept Christ. You believe he died on the cross for your sin, and you confess to the world with boldness that, Lord, I renounce the old man, and I want to embrace the new man that you give. And this will begin the journey of transformation. This will begin the journey of the changes needed for you to be your best you. This will be the journey where now you'll be able to pass the wisdom on to the blessings that God gives you when you have your offspring. And if you're blessed to have a boy, You can help him move it to be a man. But it got to start with you. Got to start with you. As Michael say, make that change. So, again, in party, if you like what we're doing, and I would say not like for an emotional feel good, but for you to develop to become all you God intended you to be and more, then check out Kingdom Builder Development Institute, and you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739. And as always, so into the ministry, $1 can make that change. Every day I go into a Speedway and I get my coffee and they give me my change back and I throw the change in there. I said, now, if I'm throwing the change in there, somebody else throw the change in there, that little change keep building up. And I knew there was a concept years ago. They used to say, if you take a penny and double it every day, you can have millions of dollars, I think, and so many millions in 30 days or something of that nature. A little bit goes a long way. It can be the difference that makes a difference in somebody's life, just like a kind word. If you say hello to somebody, you may stop them from thinking that they're nobody. In parting, as always, I say, you pray for me, I'll pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous change that God would do for us as men. God bless you. See you next time. Have a wonderful week and happy holidays.